Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to Brew Crew Online. I am Benjamin Orr. Joining me tonight, Senior Staff Writer Lou Olson and Staff Writers David Grant and Ryan Connor. The Brewers, in the past week with the winter meetings, were sort of active. They were kind of active a few weeks before with a few trades here and there, but not a whole lot. And I'm not sure we're going to really see the Brewers do a whole lot here. But still, I mean, they have made some decent trades. They traded Burke Badenhop to the Boston Red Sox for Luis Ortega, a 20-year-old pitcher. And then they traded Norichika Aoki last week to the Kansas City Royals for pitcher Will Smith. He's a lefty, and he's probably going to be in the bullpen, but we don't know just yet. So what do you guys make of, really, I guess, the Aoki trade? Because the Badenhop trade, we don't know that much about Ortega yet. He's, I believe, a single-A pitcher. So what do you guys make of Will Smith?
He's a bullpen type. That's kind of his thing. He can't really, like, his abilities in the rotation were not... He did not have success when he was starting. And his best pitch is his slider. His fastball hasn't really... He gets hit around a decent amount, so he's probably going to be a left-handed reliever, which Renicky, had said that he wanted another one, so I guess he has that. But I'm a little underwhelmed on the return for Aoki, but I can't get that upset because I don't think he was super valuable on the trade market. And, Smith is basically dominant against lefties. His slash line against them is pretty ridiculous. He was holding them under like a 170 batting average. Yeah, 157 against lefties, so.
Yeah, Smith definitely has the potential to be in that rotation, and he probably could be considering the Brewers lack a left-handed pitcher in that rotation. You do have Gorzolani as the other left-hander, but you don't want to keep relying on him for everything. So they do want to compete with him in the starting rotation. I know Renicky announced that Tyler Thornburg is tentatively the fifth starter, but he's going to compete with Smith and Johnny Helwig. So it'll be interesting to see where Smith actually lands. If he's in the bullpen, great. If he's in the rotation, I'm sure he can improve. He hasn't had a huge amount of time to really come forward as a starter. He's only, 24. He's only been in the majors on and off since 2012. So I'm interested to see what he can offer.
Yeah, I guess I don't really feel strongly one way or the other about it. I never expected Aoki to be on the roster at the start of the season, like halfway through last year. So, I'm glad we got a young left-handed pitcher. You can always use another good left-handed pitcher. So with Gorzolani having his little shoulder surgery, it was probably a good move, but I don't love it and I don't really hate it. I'm neutral.
Yeah, I think Smith is definitely gonna be more of a spot reliever against lefties for the most part. Quite honestly, I kind of wish they would have gotten a little bit more for Aoki, but it is what it is. I think part of it is also I think he wanted to play and they wanted to give Chris Davis the chance. So, it's also just doing the right thing and giving him the opportunity to go somewhere and play. So I think that definitely factored into it. We'll see what Smith has. They don't have many lefties. So, they may end up relying on him a lot more than they, had originally planned. So we'll see.
Yeah, because you knew that Aoki was going to go at some point. You just didn't know exactly for who. Some people felt a little underwhelmed of what they got. They thought, okay, Will Smith, that's it. They thought maybe they'd get something more for him. And, you can't really be mad about it. It's certainly not the worst trade the Brewers have made. It's not the best one, but it'll work, hopefully. Like I said, Smith is he's a younger guy, and he probably will have a bullpen role, like David was just talking about. You'll probably see him come out of that bullpen, maybe early innings, maybe 5-6 innings. Or the fifth or sixth inning, provided the starters don't last that long. I don't think he'll be a long relief guy like, say, Tom Gorzolani is with lefties, because I think, like you mentioned, he's probably going to just be lefty-on-lefty matchups, which I don't want to say limits him, but it kind of can.
When Randy Keith's the coach, it can limit you. When Ron Renicki's the coach, it can really limit you.
So, I mean, I didn't want to really see Aoki go because the Brewers do lose a great leadoff hitter in Aoki. And that's the thing, is who do you put as the leadoff hitter now? Is it Scooter Gennett? Is it Gene Segura? Is it Carlos Gomez? Who is that leadoff hitter?
You can make a good argument, I guess, for... I mean, there's no like, this guy is the leadoff hitter, and there's no argument for anyone otherwise. Like, with Aoki, it was kind of like he made perfect sense as the leadoff guy. The Brewers don't really have that anymore, and Justin had an article earlier today with Gene Segura, and you could argue Segura in the leadoff spot if Scooter Gennett and a platoon of whoever he's platooning with, which looks now to be more likely to be Ricky Weeks than someone else, and Ricky Weeks hits lefties fairly well, and he remembers, you know, again, how to make contact with the baseball, because it's really just him actually putting the bat on the ball. But, I mean, that could be a leadoff spot. I don't really like putting Carlos Gomez in the leadoff spot because he found a lot of power last year, and I'd rather have him be hitting those balls with guys on base than the base is empty, which will happen more often with the pitcher hitting in front of him or leading off the game. So I guess I would go with one of Segura or the platoon at second base. But there's no perfect answer, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. I think Segura should definitely get a shot at it. And yeah, especially with Hart gone, Gomez may end up, he could find himself in the five spot. Time will tell. But I don't think having Gomez lead off. I think because of, the power he showed last year, I would rather have Segura at least take the shot at it. Ricky Weeks, I just can't even, I would love to see him, come back, but I just don't see that as an option. I think at some point they're gonna dump him, hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, I think Segura is better served maybe to stay in that two spot. If Scooter sort of takes over the primary first base duties, I think he would be the primary candidate because he's more of a contact hitter. Whereas I worry about Gene Segura getting a single and then slapping into a double play. So I guess I would feel more comfortable if Gene Segura was two, and then some combination of Carlos Gomez, Chris Davis, and Ryan Braun in 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, because when Justin was writing that article, he and I were talking about it, and he goes, well, I'm trying to weigh out pros and cons of Gene Segura. And I go, well, Gene Segura has a knack for hitting on base. He had a pretty good on-base percentage last year, about .329. But the problem with Gene Segura is he doesn't walk. He walked all of, I think, 20-some times last year. And, he was an all-star. He was one of the Brewers' best hitters, but he does not have that ability to really walk. And I'm hoping that changes throughout, his career. And I think that's kind of what takes him away, at least in my opinion, from being a leadoff hitter. I like him at the two, like Lou said. I personally would probably put that platoon of Gennett and Weeks at, leading off, because Weeks has had experience leading off before. Even if he doesn't get on, then, you still have an opportunity with Segura. Or if Gennett gets on, maybe Gennett, can steal second, or Weeks can steal second if he gets on. And then you have the opportunity for Segura to hit him in, and, Segura can hit the ball. For a good part of last year, he batted well over 300 up until about the end of September. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you guys. I think that platoon of Weeks and Gennett would definitely be the best option, at least right now, to lead off for the Brewers next year. And, with them getting Braun back, but with losing Hart, they do gain some power. You're going to have a power punch of Ramirez, Lucroy, and Braun, and Gomez. So, in terms of where the Brewers hit this year compared to where they'll probably hit next year, and we're just assuming here, they did not really do well with hitting with runners on this year. A lot of people contribute that to the struggles of Juan Francisco and Ricky Weeks and the fact that Eunice DeBettencourt was existing. What do you guys think now? Now that Braun will be back, now that Scooter will be a part of this lineup, now that Chris Davis will be a part of this lineup, do you think the Brewers are going to have more of a chance and actually fulfill those chances to drive in runners?
I'm not sure that the Brewers necessarily will be, like, I think most of the time runners in scoring position numbers are just kind of noise. Like, the St. Louis Cardinals posted some ridiculous runners in scoring position numbers last year, and it's very likely that they won't do that this year. Again, I feel like it's... But I feel like the Brewers will not necessarily be favorites of, you know, being a team that moves guys over and gets guys in, but they're just basically the lineup's going to hit a lot of bombs between Braun, Ramirez, Chris Davis, Luke Roy, Gomez, and whoever they find to play first base will probably have at least a solid amount of power, unless it ends up being James Loney. Like, if it ends up being Francisco, even though he struggles to make contact with the ball, when he does actually hit the ball, he has, you know, plus power. So the team will be more powerful because you're taking out Aoki and replacing him full-time with Chris Davis. But I think there'll be a better offense this year, for sure, because you get Ryan Braun back, and that's a big deal, and hopefully you get some health from Aramis Ramirez, and the first base situation couldn't really be a whole lot worse. Actually, it really can't be worse than it was last year. And, the offense last year was not good at all, and this offense should be at least an above-average offense, if not much better, because you're looking at a team that's probably employing like a guy, either Chris Davis or Jonathan Lucroy in the sixth spot, and then at least some pop in the seven hole.
Yeah, if they're healthy, they're gonna be able to bash, and they're gonna score a lot of runs. But that's if they're healthy, and that is such a huge if. I mean, last year they had, you know, half their lineup at full speed. So if Braun comes back and he's, you know, the Ryan Braun that, you know, everyone knows, and if Ramirez is healthy, and whatever happens at first base, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I think that's their biggest asset, you know, when you look at the Brewers in that middle lineup. But they've struggled with health, and they don't have any depth. So once these guys, you know, if they have injuries, they're screwed, as we saw last year.
Yeah, David, you said two things there that I think are important. I think Ryan Braun is going to really be sort of the X factor in all of this. I mean, the team did okay without him, but now you bring him back, and I mean, I don't know a lot of people who can give him a ton of advice on how to deal with this season from all aspects. You know, if he responds really well, I think people will forget quickly, and that'll be good. And then if he performs the way that he has in the past, I think that will be the key, because if he goes, I feel like everybody else will just follow in suit, and then they'll just crush people with their power.
Yeah, I think a lot of what the offense is going to do is dependent on Ryan Braun. And it's not necessarily just Braun himself, but all the media he's going to get for when he comes back and when he does something good, when he does something bad, how it's going to reflect on his teammates. And they're either going to feel that they're going to have a lot more pressure on them or less pressure on them. And that's going to be a huge thing, is how does Braun respond to that, and how will he influence his teammates? And, you know, David also brought up a really good point with Ramirez. Ramirez battled the disabled list this past season three times. Even when he came back, though, he still did well. He was still a really powerful part of that lineup that lacked a lot of that pop without Braun and without Hart. And, you know, provided he stays healthy, maybe only goes on the disabled list one time next year, you know, who knows what he could produce, because this, you know, for a guy who's 35 and has bad knees, he sure can still hit the ball. So I think it's dependent on what that core group does. Luke Roy, Braun, Ramirez, and Gomez. I think it's dependent on what they do, because Yeah, I mean, if Gannett and Segura get on, that's nice, but you need people to drive them in. And if Davis can actually, you know, continue on what he did in July and August into next year, that'd be even an added bonus.
Who knows? By this time tomorrow, we could have Ike Davis. If you couldn't tell by the tone of my voice, I'm super jacked about it.
Oh, yeah. Forgot that. Oh,
yeah,
man.
That's still a thing, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
That's still a thing.
It's all about at what cost.
Yeah.
I mean, Ike Davis, is better than we have today, but, at what cost?
You know, and I actually want to get into that now, is we're going to do this segment that we typically do as a writing segment. I send out these emails every Sunday or Monday to the staff writers, and we usually put this together, but we're going to do three questions for you. And the first one is actually going to be about first base, because now with Hart gone and Morrison gone, also ironically to the same team, what did the Brewers do for first base? And I'm going to go individually for each one of you. So, Ryan, what do the Brewers do now for first base? Do they stay in-house? Do they go out-of-house? What happens now?
Well, it all depends, like, at what cost, like they were talking about. I think in a perfect world, they can acquire a buy-low first baseman, whether they want that to be Ike Davis or Justin Smoke, but at a very buy-low-esque cost, like a Mike Fiers, like we were talking about before the show, something where you're really not giving up anything of value. Maybe take a shot on a first baseman, or they could just roll in-house with Juan Francisco and a Halton platoon of sort. But I'm not that interested in going multiple years with James Loney, who basically wasn't a very good player for most of his career and had a mostly BABIP-influenced breakout this last season. And I'm just not all that interested in going multiple years for a mediocre first baseman, and it's hard for me to get that excited about Hunter Morris, because what the organization has been doing this offseason is pretty indicative of what they think of Hunter Morris. So I guess I hope they can get a cheap price for Ike Davis or Justin Smoke, but I don't think that's very likely, judging by what the Mets have been asking in return. There's no way I give them Tyler Thornburg, who is probably a back-end rotation starter, but I like my back-end rotation starters fairly cheap, and Thornburg is fairly cheap. And I'm not that enamored with Justin Smoke, and so I give up a similar type thing like a Mike Fiers or a... Like, I heard the name Ariel Pena thrown out there, and he's probably going to end up being a 6th or 7th inning reliever, so I don't have any problem giving that up either, but I'm just not... I mean, if it's anything that could potentially be impactful in the future, I'm really not all interested in moving it for either of those players.
All right. David, what's your take on the first base scenario now with the Brewers?
Well, I love the idea of getting rid of Fiers, but that's just in general. So if there's any takers out there, I think that's a wonderful opportunity. And if it solved first base, that would be phenomenal. But I think everyone's probably a little skeptical at this point also of what Fiers can bring. If they could find someone, great. You know, and also there's the, are they willing to, spend some money? I was a little disappointed actually that they didn't come a little bit closer to what the Mariners were offering for a 1-year deal, given that they have so little options that they wouldn't, put up a little more extra guaranteed money for Corey Hart on a 1-year deal. It's not, mm-hmm. What I figured would happen would be the Mariners would, or some other team would go, a 2 or 3 year deal, and that would price the Brewers out, but that wasn't the case. But back to your question of what are they going to do? Hopefully they can find someone. If not, the last thing I want to see them do is, get rid of like Thornburg or Nelson or someone like that. So I'd rather go with Francisco and Morris if that was the case, even though, it would probably be a repeat of last season. So hopefully they can wheel and deal. Melvin's got something up his sleeve. You would hope he has a plan B going into the negotiations the way he did with Hart, but that's yet to be seen. So we'll see.
All right. All right, Lou, what's your take on it?
Well, I love the concept of getting anybody for Mike Fiers. What a wonderful thought that there could be some scrapping of talent that we could get out of that guy. Like, some team just fondly remembers 2011 and is like, boy, he really had something, and just completely forgets everything that's happened since then. That'd be great. I don't want Ike Davis at all, but if we could get Mike Fiers for Ike Davis straight up, I would, yeah, I'd take that all day long. But in all seriousness, I mean, we didn't get Corey Hart, so I don't know what else to say. I personally am a little heartbroken about that, but it's a business. Oh, jeez, damn it! I wrote a goodbye article to Corey Hart for tomorrow, and I kept making Hart puns, and I embarrassed myself, Ben, on your behalf. Ben and his puns. It's hard not to. It's a hard name to not pun all the time, not on purpose. Anyway,
you're stuck between a heart and a rock place.
Jeez. Holy cow! I think you don't sign James Loney, you keep the money, and you just let Juan Francisco play for a while. See how that goes. It'll probably go bad, and then you saved all this money in the offseason. You just go buy somebody off the heap. Just have them come in and stopgap it. Like, I don't know. It's just the options weren't really very good to begin with. If we could have got Corey Hart back, that would have been ideal, because then it's still a stopgap anyways, but it's a more secure safety blanket stopgap. Now we're going into the unknown, and that always sucks.
And yeah, I mean, so it's just...
You just let pudgy Juan Francisco swing the stick and hope that he can connect for a month or two, maybe even all the way to the All-Star break, and then maybe you can make a deal for somebody who magically becomes available and then secure your future, and then who cares about Juan Francisco?
It's like Corey Hart was the top of this mountain, and then as soon as he goes, it's just this avalanche of bad, because... whether you believe it or not, Hart was the best option the Brewers had for first base. And after that, it's just no, 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 definitely no, no, maybe. And I don't like Justin Smoke. I didn't like him when he was with Texas. I don't care for Ike Davis. I don't care for Mitch Moreland.
Oh, God, no.
James Loney, no, because... I don't like the price he's asking for, and not just monetary-wise, but years-wise. No, I don't think the Brewers have a need for a first baseman beyond 2 years that isn't Hunter Morris. I wrote an article today earlier. I don't know how many people actually like read it or took stock into it, but Mark Reynolds is a guy I think could honestly be beneficial to this club only for his defensive versatility. He can play first, second, or third. And he has some pop in his bat. That said, he strikes out probably more than Ricky Weeks, which is surprising. but, like I said, it's just... It's not something I really think the Brewers need at this point. You stick with the fat one, you know.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you stick with Juan for now. Maybe you platoon him with Halton. You platoon him with Morris. I don't know. But... unless you're giving anybody else up for Ike Davis that isn't even Mike Fiers, I just don't think it's worth it. That being Mike Fiers or Justin Smoke. It feels like they'd be wasting a prospect on a guy that we don't really need, that's not any better than Juan Francisco. So,
yeah,
agreed.
With Mark Reynolds, the thing, his defensive versatility, I mean, the guy really can't play third base. I mean, he hasn't really been a third baseman like since he was with the Diamondbacks, really. And it's like Mark Reynolds has this thing where he is this really good power hitter, and he's just hasn't. The last time he was an above average player was 2009, and but I do like his power. Like, he does provide the home runs, you know, which is nice if you can work him into a platoon type situation with Fat Juan. Because both can play first, and at least Francisco can actually play third base decently well. I mean, compared to Reynolds and what's going to be left of Aramis Ramirez's knees.
That's true.
Because I think the people that remember Aramis Ramirez in 2012 and how he was actually a pretty solid defender, I'm going to guarantee you that that's not going to be the case this year.
I will second that motion.
He's going to be a bad defensive third baseman.
Yeah. So, second question that we're going to have for this roundtable, all three of them are going to deal with the winter meetings. And, you know, actually, this one's going to deal with the Rule 5 draft. And I don't know how many of you guys paid attention to that earlier today, but the Brewers did take in three players. The most interesting to note is a Taiwanese pitcher by the name of, I forget.
Isn't it Young Chung?
No, it's... where was it? I just had it. Wang Wong. That's his last name. Okay, we'll just call him that. I saw that at first. I thought that was Ching Ming Wong, and I'm like, oh god, no. And then I realized it wasn't. It was a completely different pitcher.
There were charlies in the trees. It was terrible.
Yeah. yeah, it was just bad. Wei Chung Wong. That's his name. He's a 21-year-old that was in the Pirates organization. He pitched in rookie ball. I think he had a 3.23 ERA. What wasn't too bad. But the Brewers are going to now have him on the 25-man roster, and they have to have him on the roster through all of next season unless they want to forfeit him back to Pittsburgh. So with a guy like this who hasn't really had much experience, but, I mean, he's kind of promising. He is a left-hander. Ryan, what do you make of Wong?
He's being brought on to – I mean, I really don't know a whole lot about him, but just throwing stereotypes of left-handers out there, he's probably – here to maybe be a loogie left-handed reliever type. I mean, he didn't walk anyone in 47 innings. He averaged less than a walk per nine. His strikeouts were not – he struck out almost eight an inning, but, I mean, for rookie ball, that's – for the rookie ball to major league jump, that's not that impressive. I guess, I mean, most Rule 5 guys, when they get drafted, are returned to their teams at some point that year because it's hard to keep guys that whose organizations clearly thought they weren't ready to play at the major league level to put them on a major league squad and have them succeed for an entire season. So I'd be surprised if he made it through the whole season without being at least offered back to Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh doesn't have to take him back. But I'd be surprised if he made it through the entire season on the 25-man roster, because the jump from rookie ball to the majors is unbelievable. Like I'm like when I saw that they drafted someone, I figured he was gonna be like a guy who kind of flamed out in Double A, but had nice stuff, and he's just a guy who pitched 1 year in rookie ball, and I was really surprised by that. And I really don't have much else to say because I really don't know anything about him.
All right. Now, David, Doug Mullvin said that he thinks there's upside to Wong because, you know, he said not just because he's a 21-year-old, but he says we're hoping for some upside here coming off of Tommy John surgery in 2011. And he said it's a chance to capture what we might consider a high-level prospect. Now, whether or not you know anything about Wong, I mean, I guess it's kind of irrelevant at this point. He's only had 1 year of rookie ball. But I guess from the numbers we've been talking about and the fact that, you know, Melvin can consider him to be a top-level prospect, what would you make of that, David?
I mean, I like the philosophy of going that way, especially as a small-market team. I think you got to take chances and – yeah, they see something in him, and you know it's low risk. They can bring him in, you know, and spring training and see what he's got. If there is that promise there, you know, they stick with them. If not, you know, it's really no big deal. I feel like there's typically there's not a lot of impact players that come through the Rule 5 draft. So I'm not I'm not terribly concerned if they made a mistake and you know he doesn't pan out, but you know in general I mean pitching the Brewers have to do take chances wherever they can at potentially bringing another prospect because in some ways they've struggled when they've drafted pitching just through the regular draft So, you know, the more the better. You know, the more arms they have to look at, you know, they may find that diamond in the rough.
All right. So, Lou, what do you make of Wong? Do you think he's going to be somebody that's going to get blasted back to Pittsburgh, or do you think that the Brewers are going to take a chance on him and actually try to work with him a little bit? Because, I mean, it's not like the Brewers are in a dire need right now to go out and compete, because, you know, you have to get past the Reds and the Pirates and the Cardinals to do that. So do you think they're going to take maybe a year and try to build up these players, or do you think they're just going to say, eh, we're signing them back?
You know, Ben, I really, honestly, and truly do not have any idea. I mean, he might be good. Maybe we'll just have to find out. I don't know. Whenever you do the Rule 5 draft, you can strike gold, and other times it's like they were never there at all. So, I mean, he could be great. But he comes from the Pirates, so my enthusiasm is tempered. And, you know, that's just history. I'm just basing that off of history. So, I mean, what I'm really excited about is that we didn't lose Kentrell Davis. Anybody else? Can I get an amen? No?
Meh.
All right. I was happy about it. I mean, I thought he would go, but never hurts to have another stubby little outfielder running around.
Because we already don't have that in Caleb Gimble.
Yeah, he's my little wrecking ball. he's my little wrecking ball, that guy.
No, not a Miley Cyrus reference.
No.
And I guess I kind of go with you guys on this, and I don't really know what to think about Wong, because we know nothing really about him except that Melvin obviously thinks there's something in this kid. And if so, then great. If not, then, you know, it's just another guy that we thought we could have had something in, and, you know, we'd just ship him back to Pittsburgh. No big deal. No love lost. But it's interesting because the Brewers, they already kind of lack in the pitching department in the minors anyway. And to bring on a lefty on board, I mean, it might be nice. Taiwanese pitchers typically have success in America. You look at guys like Qingming Wong, at least his earlier years with the Yankees. That guy for the Dodgers, that Ryu. I'm sorry, he's Korean, though. But like, pitchers from around that area, though, seem to do really well. And I don't know. I mean, he didn't do terrible in rookie league with the Pirates, but like we said before, it is rookie league. It's nothing compared to what he's going to have to face professionally. So it'll be interesting to see where he lands. Last topic
quick
we're going to talk
quick
about.
Note on Wong here. I went and did some internetting and found a little write-up on Why Chung Wong from minorleagueball.com, and here's basically the write-up. A surprise pick. Wong was originally signed by Pittsburgh by Pirates out of Taiwan in 2011. At age 21, he would normally not be eligible for the Rule 5 draft, but his first contract with the Pirates was voided due to an elbow injury which required Tommy John surgery. A player whose first contract is voided becomes eligible for the Rule 5. Wong looks to have made a successful recovery and pitched well this year in the Gulf Coast League with a 3.23 ERA and a 42-4 strikeout-to-walk ratio in 47 innings. He throws strikes with a low 90s fastball and a good curveball. It seems like a long shot that he would stick, but give the Brewers credit for a deep knowledge of the draft rules. So,
kudos to Doug Melvin there.
Yeah, he throws a decent fastball and apparently a pretty good curveball. But, yeah, I'd still be surprised if he stuck, because that's just a big jump. Even if he is, like, a future major league player at some point, it's pretty hard to make the rookie ball to major league jump.
That is a pretty big transition there. Last issue in this roundtable is basically, I guess it's more of a broad question here, but was there anything else you wanted to see the Brewers do or not do? Do you think it was an underwhelming for the Brewers, or is it what you kind of expected Doug Melvin and company to do? So, Ryan, what did you make of the winter meetings for at least the Brewers?
Well, it's about what I expected to happen. I mean, they were obviously interested in bringing back Corey Hart, and while I think that maybe their offer to Corey Hart was not necessarily where it could have been to bring him back, but, and then, you know, the chips falling afterwards and them kind of scampering for a first baseman, I'm really not surprised by that. I was hoping that they would look to maybe see if there are suitors for Gallardo or Loesch, but that might occur later in the offseason because the pitching market right now is basically stuck because nobody really knows what's happening with Tanaka from Japan. Because once he gets posted and signed, the rest of the pitching chips will fall, and the Brewers may be waiting to move Gallardo or Loesch after the rest of the pitching market is dried up when some team gets desperate. But I'm really not really surprised. And I think the purpose of the winter meetings, kind of like we saw in the last 2 weeks, isn't really like the winter meetings as a thing aren't really necessary anymore when we saw all those deals happen basically over the course of 36 hours 2 weeks ago, and Twitter basically, like, you couldn't refresh your thing and you only go like 4 minutes back with all the transactions happening. It was absolute madness, and it shows that, you know, the winter meetings aren't really a necessity in the 2010s. People get deals done anyway. And so I'm really not surprised by what happened, nor am I really concerned about what happened. I imagine the Brewers will listen if they don't even actively shop Loesch or Gallardo. It's just a hard thing for me to believe that maybe Melvin would want to move them, but I question if maybe certain forces above him are not keen on selling players that will be hopefully contributors this year, maybe for pieces down.
Definitely.
That generally concerns me about the organization.
Yeah, it's always been a huge question of, you know, what they're going to do and when. So, David, what are your thoughts on the winter meetings? Was there more you wanted to see the Brewers do, or was this just about it?
I guess, you know, this is what I expected. But, yeah, I'd hope we would see a little more direction of whether they were going to go youth or, you know, if, Melvin, you know, was going to use the all-in phrase and pull off some crazy deals. You never know. Neither of those things have happened yet. It's a good point that, you know, Gallardo and Loesch could still be moved. Ramirez could be moved. And then, you know, that would be a pretty definitive direction of, you know, youth. Right now, they're kind of in the middle right now. And especially with, you know, first base being a question mark, which they could go either way with too. I don't know. I'm still a little bit, you know, sit back and wait and see what they start with. Offensively, I think they've got a solid team. Pitching, who the hell knows? There's a lot of guys that still have a lot of question marks. You know, there's still some potential there, but, you know, they could fizzle as well. So, it's definitely a wait and see. This past week, again, what I expected, but, you know, overall pretty underwhelming, sitting back and watching.
All right, and Lou, what are your takes on it?
I was very vocal this time around on Twitter. Last year, I sort of removed myself from the winter meetings. I'm always more fascinated by what other teams do in the winter meetings because this is the third year. I think it was 3 weeks. I had been writing for Reviewing the Brew for 3 weeks when the Zach Greinke winter meetings happened. And, like, that was the craziest time ever. And then last year it was more fun to watch other teams do stuff because we didn't do anything. And this year we kind of didn't do anything again either. I spent more time the last few days praying for things to not happen than I was for things to happen. I would have liked to have kept Corey Hart, but when you look at what the Mariners gave him, it's kind of like, I'm glad that we didn't match it. It seems like an awful lot. And the Mariners apparently are flush with cash, and I didn't know about it when I lived out there for those 6 years. I did not know that they could make it rain so hard. Like
that TV deal.
Man, yeah. I have no idea where they're getting all this money from. And then I took it as a personal vendetta that they then took Logan Morrison like 5 minutes later. I was kind of like, that is unnecessary. That is hurtful, and it is unnecessary. You guys steal everything from us. You stole Mike Holmgren. You stole the GM Jack Cerenzik. You stole everything from us. You stole Russell Wilson.
After what I read, I'm not so sure that's a bad thing.
No, probably not. But they stole everything. Seattle steals everything from us. They are always taking our scraps.
They took Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
A football game from us.
A football game. Chris Bosio when I was a kid. That was some bullcrap. So
yeah,
they did what I thought they would do, which is a whole lot of kind of lateral moves, and they didn't really do. But what were they going to do? Truly, I mean, what was the best case scenario? We get Corey Hart back, and we get a pitcher for Aoki, and half of it happened, I guess. So, it is what it is. I just don't want Ike Davis, and I don't want James Loney, unless it is, of course, for the aforementioned Mike Fiers. May he rest in peace.
It certainly, I wouldn't say it was underwhelming for the Brewers. It just, like you all said, it was pretty pretty expected what they did, which was a whole lot of nothing. They talked with Sandy Alderson a lot, the Mets GM, and people were like, oh man, they're gonna make a deal for Ike Davis. Such a deal has yet to even happen, or even any inkling of it happening is yet to hit the table. I mean, James Loney is the only free agent first baseman out there that is kind of worth anything, but he wants too much, and I don't want to ever give him that much, and I don't think anybody here does. Pitching-wise, I was expecting them to get a reliever. I didn't know that reliever would be Will Smith, and that didn't even happen. I don't think it even happened in the winter meetings. It happened the week before. So, really, the Brewers kind of did nothing. There's this quote from Malcolm in the Middle, I expected nothing and I'm still let down. So I guess that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I don't really know what I wanted the Brewers to do. Maybe try to work things out with Corey Hart, and that clearly didn't happen. So I guess from here you just go with, okay, what can we do in the coming months? Because the team announced that they're not going to trade Ramos Ramirez. The rumors regarding Ricky Weeks being traded were said to be false by Doug Melvin, and I hadn't heard anything about Giovanni Gallardo or Kyle Loesch being moved, so I don't think the Brewers are going to trade anymore, maybe until the trade deadline, but we'll see what happens with them. So I think it'll be a pretty quiet offseason for the remainder until we get to spring training. So, and I think with that, we covered some pretty good rounds today. We talked about, you know, the lineup, what that's going to look like. Now with Aoki gone, what it's going to be, who's going to be there? Is it going to be Scooter? Is it going to be Ricky Weeks, that platoon at the front of it? You know, what's the power going to look like with Braun back? You know, what our expectations were for the winter meetings, not that there really were any. So as we wrap it up here, any final thoughts, guys? Because after this podcast, we will not have a podcast until mid-March when we start Season 3 of Brew Crew Online. So
I hope we can be talking about some sort of move that lands us something special, but I'm not getting my hopes up because that just seems really unlikely. And or maybe we can talk about how Billy Bean bought the Brewers or something like that.
Oh, I'd be
okay with that.
That'd be fun for a little while at least.
I would love that.
Billy Bean pumping that Red Bull, not sleeping, yeah, getting all those deals.
Throwing chairs left and right.
Yeah, that'd be fun for a while.
It'd be fun forever.
Yeah, probably. It'd probably be fun forever.
Billy Bean is immortal. That man will not die.
One does not simply kill Billy Bean.
Oh, so David, do you have any last thoughts about
anything
the Brewers have done?
I just hope, you know, when it comes springtime, we're not talking, you know, we don't have roundtables around season-ending injuries. Yeah, hopefully they could stay healthy. You know, because and really see what this team has, because they have this, I think, an interesting mix right now of veterans and youth, especially on the pitching side. It'd be interesting to see a full season of what they can really do.
Yeah, because if we're talking about season-ending injuries in March, then I think we just can call the season quits at that point.
Yeah, they have no depth, so it's like it's a big problem.
So I think that pretty much rounds out for this month. So for all of you listening, please stay tuned for the next coming months when we'll be doing a podcast again in March, and hopefully you'll join us then as you're joining us now. And for all of us reading the Brew, I am Benjamin Orr, and have a good night, everyone.